Please turn with me in the Bible to the Old Testament, first to the book of Psalm, chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. It's found on page 575 in the Pew Bible, Psalm 16. Psalm 16, congregation, hear now the very words of God. A mictum of David, preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Let us turn in the New Testament to Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 1, page 1061. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Those four are often called the gospel accounts, and all four of them record the resurrection of Christ. We'll read the first 10 verses. Our focus will be on verses 5 through 7. Matthew 28. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen. As he said, come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. As far as the reading, God's holy word. Congregation, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Today is what we often call Easter morning, the day when we especially remember the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, the day when we are comforted by the hope that comes to us because of resurrection, both of Jesus' resurrection and our own future resurrection. But in order to be comforted, in order to rejoice in the resurrection, we need to hear of it, we need to believe it by God's grace. So as God's servant to you, from God's word, I proclaim, hear the news of Jesus' resurrection. Hear the news of Jesus' resurrection. And first, we want to consider this news is comforting news. It's comforting news. Now, our New Testament reading this morning gave the account of an angel coming down from heaven, bringing comfort to women who had come to the grave of Jesus on Sunday morning. Comfort is what these women needed. These women have come to the grave with a purpose. We read in verse 1, they came to see the tomb. the tomb where Jesus was buried on Friday afternoon. They came to look at the place where the one was buried whom they had followed for 3.5 years. They had hoped that this Jesus was the Messiah, was one who would save them, would save God's people from all distress. Yet 3 days ago, this man was betrayed by their own leaders, betrayed to the Romans. He was condemned. He was put to death. So imagine the contrast these women experienced. Last week, the Sunday before, they were there as Jesus of Nazareth rode on a colt into the city of Jerusalem as a king. Crowds were cheering all around him. But then on Friday, a few days later, that same Jesus was hauling his cross out of Jerusalem to be crucified as a criminal. These women had gone from triumph last Sunday to despair on Friday, from joy to unexpected deep grief. Now on Sunday, they come to look at the tomb where Jesus had been buried on Friday. Little did they know that Jesus, though, had been risen. This is, seems, the first time they've come back to the tomb after having watched Joseph of Arimathea bury Jesus on Friday. They rested on Saturday, the Jewish Sabbath, as the law commanded them. Now on Sunday, the first day of the week, they come, dejected, to the tomb. They expect to encounter a tomb whose entrance was blocked by a large stone. These women are in need of comfort. For more than the loss of their leader, the one who they thought was the Messiah, the Savior of Israel, what do we read happened here but an earthquake, a great earthquake. Verse 2. Now we saw on Friday that an earthquake had recently occurred when Jesus died on Good Friday. That earthquake occurred at Jesus' death. Well, if an earthquake occurred then at that moment of great despair for the women, grievous time, what would this earthquake signify? Had the ground shake and heave under us to lose sense of control, and to see structures we thought were immovable bend and twist, that strikes fear into our hearts. You can readily imagine how this would upset the women even more then. Already emotionally strained from the death of Jesus, now this great earthquake strikes. But this is no ordinary earthquake, even as it was not an ordinary earthquake on Good Friday. For with this earthquake, something else happens. As we read in verse 2, behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. We need to pause here a moment. This is an event beyond anything we have encountered. Many of us here have lost someone who is dear to us in death, like these women. All of us will experience that at some time if the Lord tarries. Some of us have lived through an earthquake, maybe even a violent earthquake. But an angel from heaven? One of the heavenly hosts actually coming down from heaven to our earth? No one here has seen this. And most likely we will not until Jesus comes again. Here is something that has happened only a few times in the history of the earth. And one occurrence is while these women are going to look at the tomb of Jesus. It happens while the earth is violently shaking. Here's one more reason why comforting news is needed. Even as we read in verse 4, for fear of him, not for fear of the earthquake, for fear of him, the angel, the guards trembled and became like dead men. That is amazing. This appearing of the angel, this being from heaven, great and powerful, who rolled away then the stone that was in front of the tomb. If these soldiers feared and became like dead men at the appearing of the angel, imagine how much terror must have filled the women who saw this angel in his glorious appearance. And so three times now, they're dismayed. The death of Jesus, this great earthquake, and then seeing this angel. They needed comfort. And that's what the angel brings to them, to these women. Comforting news. The first words the angel speaks, what are they? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Have no fear. We saw that in Joshua, didn't we? Our series. It's the most common command in the Bible. Fear not. Do not be afraid. Don't fear the Roman soldiers present before you, ladies. Do not fear the heavy stone that you thought blocked your path to the body of your dead Savior. Do not be afraid of the earth that shook violently. Do not be afraid of this heavenly messenger whose appearance was lightning, who's robed in white. Do not be afraid of the death of your Lord. Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth. Jesus, the Son of God. Do not be afraid. The angel comes with comforting news for these women, these followers of Jesus who were looking for his dead body. Don't be afraid. The angel did not come to make the women terrified, to make them tremble and become as dead men as the soldiers. He did not come even to rebuke the women for their lack of faith. For Jesus had said to his followers, he would rise again. The scriptures, we read Psalm 16, it foretold the Holy One would not see corruption. He did not come to rebuke. He came to comfort. Do not be afraid. Now that's instructive for us, brothers and sisters. This same desire to comfort should be present in us. You see, this angel had news to tell, wonderful news to tell these women. But first, he needed to comfort. They were trembling with fear. Calm their fears. That is how we should approach those who are trembling, who are afraid. A desire to comfort. To comfort those fearful of disasters that strike throughout the world, to comfort those who fear encountering the powerful forces of heaven, to comfort those trembling most of all because of judgment hanging over them because of their sin. We, like this angel, have a wonderful message for those who are trembling, for those who are afraid. And we are to give this message with a desire to comfort. The angel came to the women who needed comfort. He came with comforting news. It was comforting because this news was full of hope. And that's what we move to in our second point. This comforting news is also hopeful news. Now, the angel could comfort these women, not just by mouthing platitudes or it'll be okay, anything like that. He had news, hopeful news, to tell them. As the women came to the tomb that morning, they were expecting to find a heavy stone, and perhaps if they could move that, a dead body. What they found was an open tomb, an angel of heaven, and no corpse. And the angel tells them a message. He announces to them what happened. Look again. Verse 5 and 6, I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. The angel identified the one whom they were seeking. He knew who they were seeking. And he told them, he's not here. The angel does not beat around the bush. He also does not mince words. He knows the women were coming to find the body of Jesus, the body of one who was crucified. The angel knows that. Now, the hearts of these women were heavy with the hopelessness of that crucifixion. He was hung on a tree, a death that was accursed by God. And these hopes that the women had held, that Jesus was their Messiah, those hopes were dashed, for he was killed in that accursed manner, which was described in their own law to be the method of killing one who was accursed by God. Hang him on a tree. These women had no more hope after Jesus' death on Friday. As the angel said, they were looking for Jesus who was crucified. He doesn't get rid of that reality. He brings it to mind. And that phrase of the angel's message, it encompassed the depth of their hopelessness, the extent of their despair. One who was crucified could not be their Messiah, they thought. One who was crucified could not be the one who was blessed by God, who came in the name of Jehovah, bringing salvation to his people, they thought. The crucifixion of Jesus fractured, splintered the hopes that these women had that he was the Messiah, the Son of God, even though, as we saw Friday, the Roman soldiers guarding Jesus at the cross, because of the cross, realized the truth, truly this was the Son of God. It's ironic that that same event, some interpreted one way, and others completely different way. It shows how important it is to have right doctrine. To not just go based on what we think or what we feel, but what God says. To understand rightly human history as well as our own lives, our own stories. The angel's message contained the depth of hopelessness of the women, but also gave hope. Hope they would embrace more as they came to understand more about crucifixion of the Messiah in light of his resurrection. The message this angel brings of hope that continues down to this day. This Jesus who was crucified, he is not here, for he has risen, as he said. He is not in the grave, even though he was placed there and soldiers guarded the tomb. He is not in the linen cloth in which Joseph of Arimathea wrapped him. He is not in the tomb. He is not here. He is no longer dead. Jesus has risen. And children, that's what Easter Sunday, what every Sunday, is all about. The resurrection of Jesus from the grave. Easter's not about bunnies. It's not about chocolate. It's not about springtime. It's not about new beginnings in our lives. It's all about that Jesus rose from the dead bodily. That death is not the end of Jesus' story, and a cursed death is not the end of Jesus' story. His body is not there. It is not there in the grave. He has risen. And Jesus' body, though dead on Friday, has been raised to life. He is risen. Do not believe those who claim that Jesus' body decayed. Do not believe those, as comes later in this chapter, who said, oh, someone came and stole him out of the tomb. The resurrection is amazing. And as a minister of Jesus Christ, I proclaim to you from his word that the bodily resurrection of Jesus is true. He is risen. He's risen from the dead. That's the most amazing news of all. The crucifixion of Jesus showed beyond a shadow of a doubt that he bore the curse of the law. But the resurrection of Jesus shows beyond a shadow of a doubt he has conquered sin and death. He truly is the Messiah. Beyond all our wildest dreams, there is no other. No other religion of man can provide what Jesus does. Not even come close. He has conquered sin and death. Death could not hold Jesus. Now, the women despaired when Jesus died because in their experience, as in all human common experience, death is the end of bodily existence. But Jesus is greater than death, is more powerful than the grave. He is human, but he is not a mere human. Jesus is God. The women thought their Messiah was a miracle worker, but this miracle was greater than they had expected, more powerful than they had imagined, that this one could conquer sin and death, that he's risen. It was hopeful news that the angel brought to these women, hope that death is not the end, hope that there is life beyond the grave, hope that the grave and death have been conquered. Even more with Jesus' resurrection, there's an assurance of, yes, life beyond the grave, but that the grave itself has been conquered. Death has been broken. Reality has been changed. And so Christ's resurrection from the dead shows we do not need to fear the grave. All those who are followers of Jesus. Not only will we exist after death, but we live even in the midst of this death. He's conquered the grave, even as he conquered sin on the cross for those who believe in Jesus, who entrust themselves to him in life and death. That's true hope. Not just that we will live in the future, but that we live truly now with God. We are alive now. Even death cannot kill us because Christ conquered death and the grave. That's hope for you and me. It's hope that is a sure anchor through everything we go through. Brothers and sisters, do you mourn about death, either death of your own that seems so close, or death of a loved one? Do you grieve and the light and joy of life, have they been taken from you because of sickness, because of hardship, because of death, of brokenness, those will not have the final word. Here is hopeful news. Death has been conquered, and all that's related to it, your death, my death, the death of all those who believe in Jesus. We will die physically, yes, if Jesus doesn't come first. But we will not be conquered by death. It's a big difference. There is a sure hope. And every problem of ours then, every situation can be dealt with in light of Jesus' resurrection. Quarrels, depression, divorce, job loss, pain, persecution, suffering, dying, death. Are you weighed down this week? A wise minister once said, there's a heartache in every pew. What's yours? Well, Jesus' resurrection gives us hope that even in the midst of these trials and afflictions, all that we feel and experience, all that we think in our mind, if it is even thinking rightly, we have life. We're not left in death. In the midst of your sorrow and distress, you might feel that you have been conquered. But fix your eyes on Jesus. See with the eyes of faith that in Christ you are more than conquerors. Trust Him. Because Christ has conquered death, we too have conquered. And how especially true of that is that of death itself. That we will not be left in the grave. Our bodies will not. We will rise. Because the same God who raised Jesus from the grave will raise those who believe in Jesus unto everlasting life. We belong to Jesus, body and soul, in life and in death. So for you, believer, death itself holds no power. Don't let it. Don't think that it does. Don't live as though it does. The angel tells this hopeful news. News to these women who so desperately needed hope. And God saw to it that the angel's words were written down for us. So that we who desperately really need hope would hear this hopeful news. That we may hear the news of Jesus' resurrection and have hope. The angel brought hopeful news. Comforting news, hopeful news. But also, as we want to see in our third point, motivating news. The angel says to these women, verse 6, come, see the place where he lay. He gives an invitation to the women to see for themselves that the tomb in which Jesus was placed, it's empty of him. The angel invites the women to witness for themselves, Jesus is not there, he is risen. And the women could go and see. That large stone that had been rolled against the tomb, it was now removed. The angel removed it. He did not remove it to let Jesus out. He could pass through walls. He did it to let others in so they could witness that Jesus was not there, to witness that Jesus is risen. And the same angel that rolled away the stone, he now invites the women to come and see the place where he lay. Come, see for yourselves. Do not be unbelieving, but believe. Come look, come see, come touch. There's more to that word see there in verse 6. Come see the place where he lay than just what we think of with our eyes. There's a noticing, there's a perceiving, there's an understanding. Just as the women had experienced the crucifixion of Jesus, they more than just saw with their eyes, they understood it. The reality was impressed upon them. So they are invited to experience the emptiness of the tomb that proves Jesus' victory over hell and death in the grave. So it's not done in the corner of a world. It was not hidden from sight. God, through his angel, invites the women to witness the effects of the resurrection. Now, to be sure, no human other than Jesus witnessed the resurrection itself. It happened behind the closed tomb. But the women are invited to witness the effects of it. The effects of the resurrection. God invites these women to see the effects of his great power, of his victory over death, of his strength, his might. He invites witnesses to come and verify that his word of prophecy has been fulfilled. All that has been written, we read some of it in Psalm 16, God would not let his Holy One see corruption. That's been fulfilled. Jesus is risen. God's Messiah has not seen decay. The tomb is empty. God has nothing to hide. So God's angel tells news of Jesus' resurrection and invites them in. No smoke and mirrors, no deception, no sleight of hand. Look for yourselves. He's not here. Come, see the place where he lay. But there's something else the angel tells the women to do. He invites them to come and witness the fact of the resurrection, but they are also to bear witness of it to others. We read there in verse 7, "Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him." The women are instructed now to take the role of the angel and tell others, tell the disciples that Jesus is risen. Those who are invited to witness the empty tomb are instructed to witness to others of the empty tomb. Not even of their experience, not even of what they feel, but of the fact that Christ is risen, to point to Jesus. Others must hear. Jesus' disciples also must come to know, so that others who are caught in their despair would also be comforted. This comforting, hopeful news, it's motivating news, motivating the women to tell others the good news. And the angel's message is not intended to be heard by the women and just kept to themselves, stored away in their hearts. They're to tell it abroad so that others would know, so others may be comforted, so others may believe. And brothers and sisters, that's what you and I are invited to do yet today. Not to visibly experience the empty tomb, as the women were invited to do, but to hear and believe the news of Jesus' resurrection, to have the fact of the resurrection proclaimed to us, to believe that Jesus is risen from the dead, and then to tell others. That invitation goes out to men and women, boys and girls, you too, yet this morning. He is not here, he is risen as he said. And we in turn must tell others of the risen Savior, just as the women were instructed to witness to the disciples of what they had seen. But that's not all, congregation. Not only do we hear and tell the fact of Jesus' resurrection, we are called to experience this in our lives. Now, we aren't looking for some tingling feeling or some mere emotional experience. It's something better and deeper and more profound. Since he has been raised from the dead, there is hope for those who belong to him. We will be raised. We have hope. We have comfort. And everything we encounter in this life is to be understood from the perspective of Jesus' resurrection and our own. Every labor of love, every temptation that is faced and by God's grace overcome, every struggle endured, even the last enemy of death that we have to face, it has lasting purpose, our struggle, because our bodies will be raised. We will be raised. And we are to live in obedience to God, serving his purposes in our generation, because Jesus has brought righteousness and life. Death is not the end. Resurrection is. That's motivating news. The news of Jesus' resurrection from the dead motivates us to tell others the news. It motivates us to endure every trial because we know Jesus has been raised. And so shall we. You will not be crushed. Just as sin and death have been conquered by Jesus' death and resurrection, so all the effects of sin and death are to be faced with Jesus' victory firmly in our hearts and our minds. Trust Jesus. Believer, God forgives your sins. You are righteous in his sight. You have eternal life. Now live that out. You are a new creation in Christ. You've been given spiritual life to live in obedience to God. That motivates us to live in a world of hopelessness, a world of sin, a world of despair, with our eyes and our hearts fixed on heaven, with our tongues eager to share this good news with others. That's the message of hope you and I are invited to hear and believe this morning, so we would be comforted, we would have hope, we would be motivated. It's the message we're instructed to tell others, so that all might hear of Jesus' resurrection, that they may praise God, the By God's grace, let us hear, let us believe, let us tell, and let us live for God's glory. For Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have raised Jesus from the dead. We've never encountered anything. Yes, our experience, we can resuscitate, and even sometimes some minutes, perhaps even longer as it seems, we can bring cells back to functioning ability. But to truly raise the dead, to conquer death, that's beyond us. But you have done it. You have done it in your beloved Son, Jesus. And you have sent the Spirit of your Son to give us life, to join us to Jesus. Lord, we long for that for others. You have your chosen ones. Lord, bring them to life as they hear the good news, that you would create faith within them and raise them up with Christ. And be with us whom you have raised up, that we would live as those who are raised. We confess, Lord, there is so much in our lives that distracts us from Jesus. We are so easily living by sight instead of by faith. Strengthen our faith, that in all things we would live by faith in Jesus, faith in the crucified, resurrected, soon to come again, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.